be talking to you this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, about the second coming of Christ. When after we had been in church too long, we heard some messages on Christ was going to come back. And my kids at that time was quite small. And I can remember my daughter saying, "Dad, you know, I don't want Jesus to come back. I want to grow up and I want to get married and I want to have kids, you know." I said, "Well, if it's God's will, that will happen. But if he comes back, he's going to come back. And he has promised us that he is coming back." And you know, when God makes a promise, you know, there ain't no ending given there. It is a promise and it's going to stay. And whatever he says is going to happen, that's what's going to happen, whether we like it or not. But we see here this morning as we're going to bring out just a few things of when he is starting to come back. We're not going to get into some of the things that's going to happen during the tribulation period. We're not going to get into that. Mostly the part in 1 Thessalonians here that we're going to get to. Let's pray and ask God to bless us. Father, again, we come to you this morning. We come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to present the Word of God. We ask this morning, Lord, that you'll be with me and use me in any way that you see fit this morning, that the gospel can be carried out. We ask that you be with our preacher. Continue to bless him, Lord. We know he wants to be here this morning, but other obligations, we know he has to be there. But we ask that you'll bless him, Lord, and everything is said and done here, that, dear Lord, it'll be your will and your honor. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. The second coming of Christ is going to happen. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. Jesus said that he would come again. He came the first time in Bethlehem as a babe. And we see there that as he came, he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And then that he gave his life on Calvary for the whole world. We can also see that that grave could not hold him, but he arose from the dead, and we serve a risen Savior today. We can see in the book of Acts there in chapter 1 that when the disciples, some of them was watching him when he was descending up for the first time there after he had had his glorified body. It said that he ascended up and some of them watched. They literally could see him as he was going up. And it says there that as he ascended up into heaven, some watched and he promised that he would come back again. In the New Testament alone, if he told us one time that he was coming back, that would be enough. But you know, he told us a few more times than that. He told us 318 times that refers to the second coming of Christ. And some say, well, I think it was at the day of Pentecost was the second coming of Christ. Well, if it was, he mentioned it another 118 times after that that he was coming. 150 times, I mean, after that that he was coming. So Christ is coming again, and he's going to come. As you read through the New Testament, I've been told that one verse in every 25, all through the New Testament, indirectly or directly, refers to Christ coming again and his glorious appearing. The second coming of Christ will be what we call the rapture, the snatching away or the catching up. This is for the church and this is for the saved people only, those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're living in today what we call the church age, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, which is at this time the birth of the church. The disciples believed Jesus when he says, "I am coming again." And they believed it enough that they went out and they started preaching it and they started teaching it. And it's still being preached and still being taught today. Paul in his time was looking for Jesus to come back. You'll say, well, that was a long time ago. It was a long time ago, but he believed it, and he was looking for Jesus to come then. Our preacher believes Jesus is coming back today. He'll get up here and preach it, and he'll teach it also. And you know, at the end of Paul's ministry there, when he was writing the book of Philippians, while he was in prison, he was getting close to the end of his life. His ministry was ending. His life was ending. Paul said in Philippians 3:20, he says, "I'm still looking for Jesus to come back." Now, that's faith now. He was still looking for him to come back. The Bible gives us some clues and some signs, and just one or two I'll give you there is that it said it was going to be like it was in the day of Noah. Things was pretty tough then. Noah and his family was the only Christians on earth, and you can imagine what it was going through at that time. And you know, today, there's not that many Christians in the world in comparison to what there are lost. But yet Jesus said he's going to come back, and it was going to be in those days that when times was going to be terrible, and we see that if ever peace is reached in the Middle East, you can watch out too. But we can see that we today, we live in a sick world, and we know that by how they're killing our babies. We live in a sick world, and this world of sickness is unto death. Death will be the last enemy that will be destroyed. Now, in the book of Matthew, we know that we don't know the hour, or we don't know the day, or we don't know the minute that Christ is going to come back. But we do know He is going to come back, whether it's in our lifetime or after our lifetime. We don't know. But we do know one thing. We don't know the time, so I don't want you to go sell everything and give me the money and move out to California, like some people are doing. But we are to wait upon the Lord. And as we're waiting, we are to serve Him. But the Bible tells us that not even the angels know when He's coming back. Not even the angels. And they had a part in all parts of the ministry when they announced His coming, everything. But they don't know this time. Only God Himself knows when He's going to come back. You know, it was a great day the first time that in the Bible we reread where Christ was born into this world in a manger. He did that for all people. And it was a great event when we see that Jesus died for our sins. That was for all people. And we can say it was a great event when Christ rose from the dead and He came out of that tomb, and that tomb could no longer hold Him. And we serve a risen today for that. He did that for all people. And we see that God has given us the Bible for all people, that when we read it, we can be prepared when He comes back. But the next greatest event that's going to be on God's calendar is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's going to happen. But that's not for all people. That's for the selected few that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, when He comes back at that time, there's going to be, let's take for instance the church. There's saved people in the church and there's lost people in the church. When He comes back and snatches us out, there's going to be some left. It's going to separate the wheat from the tares. And at that time, only the believers in Christ will be lifted up. In verse 13 there it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You can rest assured that if God said, don't be ignorant, there are some around. Or He wouldn't have said it. And we see here that where He's saying, and that these ignorance that He's talking about is brethren, Christians that has not grown. Christians that refuse to read the Bible, Christians that refuse to go to church, and they say, I'm all right the way I am, I've accepted Christ. Well, He says we can be ignorant on this part. And He says many of us today are, because we do not do these things. We fit into that category because we don't want to read God's Word and find out what's going on in the world today and when He's going to come back or if He's going to come back. We have to read it. We don't know the signs. We know just a few of them there that He's mentioned to us. But we do know that when He says, don't be ignorant, brother, He was talking about brethren, which means Christ in verse 13. He tells us not to be ignorant. In verse 13 there it says, be ye not sorrow. Now you mean when somebody dies, I'm not to be sorrow? Well, we're going to miss them, but we're not to grieve them to a point that we're not going to ever see them again, because we have hope. We have hope one day that we will see them. And the lost that are died, those are the ones that we need to grieve for, because there's no hope for them. They're lost for all eternity. Now, in verse 14 there, it said it gives us some qualifications that we need there. And it's talking about the death and the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Not only coming after the living Christians, but there's going to be the dead Christians. Now, I'm not talking about some dead Christians that are walking around still yet. I'm talking about the ones that are asleep in Christ, the ones that have died already. We have loved ones that have already died. Those are the ones we're talking about now. So when He comes back, He is getting all Christians, the dead ones and the ones that are walking around at this time. And our job as a reading of the Bible and hearing the preaching of the Word is to accept Christ. Christ says today is the day of salvation. Satan says tomorrow is better. Wait till tomorrow. And they have that conflict there that races within a unbeliever. In verse 15 there now, it gives us some assurance there. It says, Therefore, this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. It does not mean at this time now when Jesus comes back after us that the dead in Christ is going to be left behind. In other words, I'm up this high, the dead are down here, and Christ comes with that shout, I'm to go up and leave them behind, and they're tagging behind. That's what it doesn't mean. He says that we shouldn't prevent them. We're going to all go together, and it's going to be all together. I mean, I'm not going to get there before you do, and you're not going to get there before I do. And if I'm on top of a tall building, I still won't get there before you. We're going to all get there at the same time. And you know what's amazing about this is when Christ comes the second time and he comes for the rapture of the church, when he's going to raise the dead Christians up, I often wondered, you know, the people that have been cremated and they take their ashes to the top of the mountains and let the wind and they let them blow, or they throw them in the sea. And you know, but when Christ comes back the next time, when he comes this time, they're going to all come together. That body's all going to come back together because we can't destroy the body. God knows where every bit of us is at every minute. And it's going to happen that way. Now, and it says in verse 16, it says, who's going to come after us and how is he going to do it? It says, for the Lord himself. Now, I like that part. For the Lord himself is going to come back to us. And it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, they're going to open their eyes. They're not going to be the first one to get to him. We're all going to get there together. The reason they're going to be first is they're 6 foot deeper than we are. And when they get to us, we're all going to go together. So you can't say, get up there, and I can't get up there, and I say, hey, Warren, I beat you. Aha, you know. We're not going to be able to do it. We're all going to get there at the same time. And you know, the Lord said he was coming back himself. He's not going to use an angel. He's not going to use some special prophet to come back and holler for you to come up. He's going to do it himself. When we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we went to him and he saved us. We are his child. And by being his child, when the time comes for us to go, he is coming back for his children. And that's you and me if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he'll welcome us as children of God. When he comes again, it's going to be that personal for each one of us. When he comes, I think it's going to be just like he's coming for me. And that's the only thing I see is just me and him. And that's the way you'll be. All you'll see is just you and him. And it's that personal. Now, it says that he shall descend from heaven. Now, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11, it talks about when he descended the first time. When he ascended the first time, he's going to descend this time. And as they looked, they could see a cloud that had received him out of sight. And as they looked on, it said, two men in white apparel says, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. So in other words, what he was saying there, when they seen Jesus leaving, they said he's going to come back the same way, visibly. We'll see Jesus. It won't be something we'll just hear a voice, but we will see him with our own eyes the same way that they did. And in like manner, he'll take us into heaven. They did. They actually seen him, and I believe that we will see him at that time. Verse 6 also says that we will see him, but he will appear prompt and with power. He is coming for a purpose. And you know, one of the things I like, it says he's going to come with a shout. And when he brings that shout out, I don't know how he's going to say it. If he's going to say, come up hither. I don't know how he's going to say it. I don't know if he's going to say, my child, come up here. But it is going to be with a shout. And you know, the whole world is going to hear that shout that are Christians. All over this whole world, the people that have died in Christ and the people that are still living in the whole world is going to hear that shout. At the same time, there won't be any sound delays. You know how sometimes when you watch CNN news, they'll say, what do you think about that? And the guy's over there going, oh, okay. You know, that's how long of a delay it is. But when Christ comes back and shouts, I think everyone in the whole world that is Christian, dead and alive, is going to hear that voice right then at the same time. I'm glad he didn't say, when I come back, I'm going to talk to you in a still, small voice. Because I might not hear the still, small voice. I'm thinking that. You know, we as humans, we think that. But if he hollers it real loud, we're going to hear it. But I'm glad that he's not coming to us in a still, small voice. But it will be heard all the way around the world. And at this time, our Lord's going to come. He's going to have that glorious appearing. He's going to be the great Redeemer. He's not coming as a babe in a manger anymore. He's coming as King and Judge. And he's going to go from there with that. And then after that, we will have a time when we'll be at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. This will have nothing to do with our sins. That's already taken care of. That's already buried into deep sea, already forgotten, out. We don't have to worry about that no more. That's taken care of. But it will be what we did for Christ while we was here. Even if it was just one cup of cold water, it's what we've done for him. Now, look at what happened next now. It says that in verse 16, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I already mentioned we're going to get there first at the same time, nobody before the other one. The dead that it's talking about this time is the body in the grave. And now the soul and the spirit's not there. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that when we die physically on this earth, our soul and our spirit is with God. The old body gets put in the grave. So that's what he's coming back for, is that body for us. Now, in verse 17 there, it says, then which we are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them together in the clouds. We're going to all go together. It says together, and I do believe it's going to be all together. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, it says we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We know what a blink is. You know, a blink, that's pretty fast. But a twinkling of an eye, GE proved a few years back that a twinkling of an eye was 11/100 of a second. A lot's going to happen in 11/100 of a second. We're going to all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll all go up together to meet him in the clouds, and the Lord will be there for us. I look at the next promise in verse 17. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't never be no separation again. We're going to always be with the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. We'll never be separated from him again. And there will be no more trials. There will be no more tribulations we have to go through. No more problems that we have on earth. If we're in bad health, we won't have to worry about that again. God's going to take care of it. And you know, the next promise he has for us is that I thought about this. You know, Elijah and Enoch, they didn't have to die. You know, if Christ comes back while we're still living, they ain't going to have nothing on us, because we ain't going to have to die. They ain't going to have nothing on us. Now, we see there in verse 18, it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. A lot of times we get upset with things we read. We're thinking, oh, no, you know. But when Christ is coming back, that's supposed to be something that's to comfort us. My daughter says, I want to get married. I want to have kids. You know, but it's not that. It's to comfort us. And I understood where she's coming from. Now that we've all had kids, we wish he would have came. Well, no. But he says, comfort one another with these words, that we're to be thankful. But if you're lost, it's not a time of comfort. You'll be left here on earth and have to go through the 7 years of tribulations. And the things that will happen during then has such never been seen by man that will happen. And but the impact of the story today is, be ready and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior before it's too late. I heard a story one time about this family. They lived out in the country. And I'll close with this. They lived out in the country. There was a mother and a father and a daughter and a son that was 14 years old. And the son, they all went faithfully to the Baptist church there in town. But the son didn't believe that Jesus was going to come again. He said, you know, I just don't believe that. And I know God's dealing with me, but I don't want to be saved now. I'm only 14. I got a long time to live. Well, as it went, one day the little boy was coming home from school. He come running in. His sun was shining outside, and he come running in. And he asked his mother and father what he could have to eat, you know. And after having some cookies and some milk, he asked if he could go up on a hill to play. the hill was in the middle of a cow pasture, and his father says, sure, go on up there and play, but be back in an hour. So the boy, he takes off running up on, he gets on top of that hill, and as he gets up there, he lays down and puts his hand behind his head, and as he's laying there, he could feel the wind blowing across his face coming up that mountain and over on that hill over on him. And as he's laying there and watching the clouds, he got to thinking about a sermon that the preacher had preached last week. And he said, you know, you need to be saved because Jesus is coming back again and he's going to take all the saved people out of the world. And as he thought about that, he knew he should, but he just didn't want to right now. And then as he laid there, he began to get a little sleepy and a little tired, you know. But he took off and he run to the house. And as he got to his house, he run in and said, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm home. And nobody answered. So he goes into the rooms and he looks around. Oh, he says, they're probably out in the barn. So he goes out in the barn and he looks and he hollers for his parents and they're not there. He says, where's everybody at? Well, maybe they're in back of the barn. He went back there and looked and they wasn't back there. He says, oh, maybe they gone into town. And he looked and he says, no, the car is still in the driveway. They didn't go into town. So he started getting a little bit worried because nobody was around. So he thought, I'll run over to Billy's house and see Billy and see if he's there and know where my parents are. He went over to Billy's house and there was nobody there either. So he comes back home and he thinks he'd better do a few chores because his dad would really be happy if he come back and saw that he did the chores on his own. So he goes out to the barn, he opens the door. By the time he opens the door, these pigeons flew out, you know, and his heart beat about 400 times a minute. And he says, now I'm not going to be scared. I'm 14. I'm not going to be scared. So he did his chores and he went in. He said, I can already smell that cornbread cooking that Mama's got in there. And I go in there and he goes in, but there's nobody there. He thinks, well, you know, this is strange. I think I'll eat some. So he found some peanut butter and jelly, and he made himself a sandwich, and he ate that, and he sat on the couch for a while, and he was getting tired because it was getting like 5 o'clock, and he was getting worried about where everybody was at. As he sat on the couch, he fell asleep, and as he fell asleep, he woke up the next morning at about 8 o'clock, and when he woke up, he figured Mom would be in there. He ran into the kitchen, and the jelly was still on the table. And as he went into the bedroom, their bed was still made. And this was kind of getting him a little bit now. He was starting to get scared. So he thought, you know, so he went out and did some more chores and he come back in. He thought, I better go ahead and go into school. So it was about 8 o'clock and he was already some late. So he went into school and on his way to school, he was went by old man Guilford's house, but he was sitting on the front porch, but he's too scared to stop and talk to him because he knows how he is anyhow. So he went on by there, but he could see the church up the road. He said, Pastor's car is still there. And he was so excited because he could have somebody he could talk to. And he went into the church and he hollered for the preacher and there was nobody there. He looked all around, nobody around. So then he left and he thought, I'll go into school. So he went to school, and as he walked into school, it was really quiet. There was nobody there. And he went into the principal's office, and Mr. Butterfield was sitting there with his head in his hand doing this. And Johnny says, Mr. Butterfield, he says, Johnny, what are you doing here? Going home. He says, most of the teachers didn't come in. A lot of the kids didn't come in. He says, there's nothing but chaos here today. The kids got in a big fight. They almost burnt the school down. Going home while you can, Johnny. Go home. So Johnny went out crying. You know, he couldn't get anybody to help him. So he saw the police station. He said, you know, I'll go in there. They help everybody. So he went into the police station. And as he was in the police station, he saw the policeman. The policeman says, no, son, you get on out of here. Get out of here right now. He says, there's trouble. This town is full of trouble. He says, there's murders and there's rapes and there's robberies. There's fighting and there's looting. Everything is going on downtown. You don't want to go near there. Get out of here and go home while you can. So Johnny takes off running. He figures if the policeman's not going to help him, nobody's going to help him. So as he takes off running home, he comes by a gang of boys, and he thought, I better pull by. So he went down an alley, and the closer he got home, the faster he ran. And when he got home, he was praying, or was trying to pray, but he said he couldn't pray, hoping that his parents was at home. And when he goes in, there's nobody there. Everything is just like he was the way he left it. And we see that Johnny went out and he did a few more chores and he was going to have another sandwich, but there wasn't any bread. He wondered what he would do. He went to the sugar bowl and there was a $5 bill and a little bit of change in there. And as he took the $5 bill out, he thought he'd go down to the little store just a couple blocks away to get some bread. And he went in there and there was a stranger behind the counter, you know. And he says, where's Mr. Fred? He says, Mr. Fred disappeared about 2 days ago. I've got the store. Now, what do you want, kid? He says, I want a loaf of bread and a candy bar. And he pulled out the $5 bill to pay him, and the man didn't give him his change back. He said, Mister, you didn't give me my change back. He said, son, you ain't getting your change. Get out of here before. And Johnny took off running, see, and he's really scared. and you don't know what's going on. And as he takes off running, he goes home again, and he gets on the couch, and as he almost falls asleep, the telephone rings, and he answered it, and it was Aunt Molly. Aunt Molly says, "Oh, hi, Johnny, I knew you would be here." He said, "How did you know I would be here?" She said, "Well, your mother wrote me letters telling me that you needed to be saved, and she witnessed to you and wanted you to be saved before Jesus come, but you wouldn't do it." And she says, and everybody I know that's a Christian is gone from here. But she said, "If I can, I'll be there tomorrow." Well, Johnny starts crying after he hangs up, and it's starting to get dark, so he locks all the doors, and it starts to storm. And as he's sitting on the couch and he falls asleep, a few minutes later, he hears somebody saying, "John, John, John." And he looks up, and it's his dad. He says, "Oh, Dad, I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad to see you." His dad said, "Well, John, you was up on the hill, and you must have fell asleep." And he says, "I come up to get you." He says, "Dad, I had a bad dream. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to be ready before Jesus comes back." And right there on that hilltop, Johnny and his father knelt down, and that completed the whole family, that Johnny got saved that day. Now, Johnny had a chance, but we don't all get a chance when it comes time to receive Christ. A lot of us might not have a second chance. We need that chance today. And that's why we're having this invitation right now as we present it, that you may not have a second chance, or this may be your second chance. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and ask Him to save you, you need to do that today. If God's dealing with you to do some things that we need to be doing in our lives that we know we need to be doing, this is the time to take care of that. If we have any needs this morning, this is the time to take care of those needs. First of all, salvation, and then needs that we have in our lives as we pray. Father, again, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, God, for being with us this morning. We ask, dear Lord, that you'll continue to watch over us, continue to bless us as this time of invitation going. We know, God, that one day Jesus is going to split the skies wide open, and Christ is going to come back and receive the church, the saved ones, into Him. And Lord, we just ask at this time for any here that need to take care of that business this morning and receive Christ, that this will be the appointed. And Lord, if you have things for us to do that we need to be doing, we ask, Lord, that we'll take steps to start that this morning, and that we can reach everybody we can for Jesus before He comes back. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for watching over us now, and we ask you to be at this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.